with the assistance. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Yeah. I'll read the translation for all and then we'll come to 309. 301 translation. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, in my previous ashram, Shankararanya was my brother and Jagannath Mishra was my father. This is in context that he is speaking of with Sri Rangapuri. 302. After finishing his talks with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Rangapuri started for Dwarka Dham. 303 translation. After Sri Rangapuri departed for Dwarka, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu remained with the Brahmana at Pandarpura for 4 more days. He took his bath in the Bhima River and visited the temple of Vitthala. 304. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu next went to the bank of Krishna Venva River, where he visited many holy places and the temples of various gods. This has some purport, so I'm just reading that small one. This river is a branch of River Krishna. It is said that Thakur Bilvamangala resided on the banks of this river, which is also called the Veena or the Veni, the Sina or the Bhima. 305 translation. The Brahmana community there was composed of pure devotees. They regularly studied a book entitled Krishna Karnamrita, which was composed by Bilvamangala Thakur. This book was composed by Bilvamangala Thakur in 112 verse. There are 2 or 3 other books bearing the same name, and there are also 2 commentaries on Bilvamangala Thakur's book. One commentary, Swami, please. There are also 2 commentaries on Bilvamangala's book. One commentary was written by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami and the other one by Chaitanya Das Goswami. 306. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased to hear the book Krishna Karnamrita, and with great eagerness he had it copied and took it with him. 307. There is no comparison to Krishna Karnamrita within the 3 worlds. By studying this book, one is elevated to the knowledge of pure devotional service to Krishna. 308. One who constantly reads the Krishna Karnamrita can fully understand the beauty and the melodious taste of the pastimes of Lord Krishna. 309. Shloka goes, Brahma Samhita Karnamrita
Karnamrita
Dvi Kunti Pani Phana
Maharatna
Praya
Pai
Aila
Sangalana.
He is good at it.
Brahma Samhita Karnamrita Dvi Kunti Pana
Brahma Samhita Karnamrita Dvi Kunti Pana
Maharatna Kayopaya Halo Sangalana
Maharatna
samhita karnam natari utipana
Karnamrita,
Dui,
two,
Kunti,
books,
Pana,
getting,
Maharatna Praya,
like the most valuable jewel,
Paya,
getting,
Aila,
came back,
Sange,
with him,
Lana,
taking.
Translation.
The Brahma Samhita and Krishna Karnamrita were two books that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu considered to be most valuable jewels. Therefore, he took them with him on his return trip. Dadati Chakrantikam Vande Ham Sri Guru Shriyata Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamsa Sri Rukam Sakrajatam Sagana Nagnatamitam Tansachivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Pranjata Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Harita Sri Vishakantamsa He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Brinda Maneshwari Vrishabhan Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Mancha Kalpataru Vyasa Kripasande Vyavachan Patitanam Pane Vyo Vaishnave Vyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The Brahma Samhita and Krishna Karnamrita were two books that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu considered to be most valuable jewels. Therefore, he took them with him on his return trip. This is a very interesting set of mid-chapter. That we are actually coming almost to the closer completion of this Madhya Lila chapter 9, which is Lord's travelogue, where he visits from Jagannathpuri, he goes down south and then he is coming back again to Jagannathpuri. In this particular set of the translations which Srila Prabhupada explains, there are a lot of information which is very important and very vital for all of us. One of the main criteria which Prabhupada explains here is he is introducing a wonderful personality, Bilva Mangala Thakur, before which there was no reference to this great Acharya in the entire early part of Chaitanya Charitamrita. So if you notice, Bilva Mangala Thakur was actually being quoted in the historical manner. If you notice, there are multiple personalities of the same name, but in totality of understanding by different acharyas, it is the same personality. Even though there is some conflict of information that Bilva Mangala Thakur was only based in, this is Andhra Pradesh, the place where actually Lord Chaitanya is traversing, is closer to Krishna River, which is actually in Andhra Pradesh. even though he is in Maharashtra, which is the bordering state of Andhra, here Lord Chaitanya is almost touching towards Andhra Pradesh and he is going up east towards Orissa. But here Bilwa Mangala Thakur is being explained as a great acharya. Has been it's to be noted that not just Bilwa Mangala Thakur is being explained here as a personality who stayed there, but the entire topic is also sort of coming out with that Lord Chaitanya loves these two wonderful books, which is one is Brahma Samhita and another one is Krishna Karnamrita, written by Bilwa Mangala Thakur. Even though he wrote almost like more than 22 books, Bilwa Mangala Thakur wrote 22 books, different pastimes have been noticed, and then different acharyas also explained that his influence was very strongly felt all across South India, much more in Kerala region. I'll just come to that point a little later. We would understand more about how Bilwa Mangala Thakur really changed the kind of devotee's life, and what beautiful example of his personal life is that we need to capture us. Right? First thing Lord Chaitanya says is that he loved Brahma Samhita. This we all know, that Brahma Samhita is none other than the renunciation by Lord Brahma to Lord Krishna when he had to do sort of a repentance and then glorify Lord Krishna for Brahma making a mistake of taking Lord Krishna as a small boy. Then he had to steal the cows and the cowherd boys, and for one full year he was that. But nevertheless, what we also know is that Brahma Samhita is a fantastic glorification. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes a beautiful commentary, and Prabhupada also explains how beautifully it has been renunciated. This actually Lord Chaitanya finds in the South Indian region of Kerala. There is a beautiful temple called Adi Keshava Swami Temple in a place called Thiruvattar. It's not in Kerala, but it's in the closest proximity of the southernmost tip of India, which is called Kanyakumari. Right? It's in the same district as that. And this particular temple has a beautiful significance. One is that the entire temple is built with one stone. It's not built with the multiple stones or the pillars of different stuff. It's all built in one stone. It's called the one stone mantap. And Lord Chaitanya found this place. It was early, and then very early in Lord Chaitanya's travel to the south is what he found it, and the first thing he did was he just carried it, and that is how since he found it, we are able to hear and read about Brahma Samhita, as we do that every day in our prayers in the morning as deity greetings. So this is one beautiful book which we all have to practice to buy it up. By hearting that is very useful for us, because it speaks very personal about Krishna. If Prabhupada says, if at all we know what Krishna is made up of, who is Krishna, where is his residence, how he is bedecked, who is God, the explanation is no other place, it's in Brahma Samhita. Like we say that Venam Kuranta Maravinda Dalataksham Barhavatam Samasitam Gurasundaranga Andarpa Koti Kamaniya Vishesha Shobham Govindam Vadikosham Tamaham Bajami. See, these kind of information is so personal that the Lord has beautiful, the second shloka we say, Angani Yasya, is like, can you imagine the Lord can stay so long, so far, and still be present in person? And then take your offerings. He can just by even seeing, every anga of his is very divine. So the Lord's beautiful features are explained in such a vivid manner that we will get just carried away to the spiritual realm just by hearing a few wonderful verses of glorification in such a fantastic Sanskrit expression. That Lord Brahma, we are not qualified even to utter a single word of it. It's such highly placed literature. And then Prabhupada's mercy that we are getting it so simple that we are just taking a paper, sheet of paper, and then we are just reading it. There are so many mantras and so many of the shlokas, we are definitely not qualified even to, because if you go to the chaste Sanskrit scholars or chaste sadhus in different parts of the subcontinent, you would see that they will always question or argue that our pronunciation is not correct. Obviously, we have not read Sanskrit, and then we have, in some way or the other, we have understood that by some way or the other, by English, by Srila Prabhupada's translation to English world, we are able to now glorify the Lord in that whatever capacity we have in. So that's something which is fabulous, right? So this is one literature which Srila Prabhupada also glorified a lot, because Brahma Samhita is a very important literature in our Krishna conscious life. Like, we cannot miss it. It's very important. It's critical. So it's very, very important for us to by heart and then know each shlokas. At least not the translation or the purport, at least the shlokas. When we do some chanting, it is very useful. It's a very good prayer. No harm in knowing the other translations also. Secondly, Bilva Mangala Thakur is what Srila Prabhupada speaks about in this particular set of shlokas. So in this, Bilva Mangala Thakur plays a very important role to this world in modern and as well as in the ancient time of history. One prominent aspect of Bilva Mangala Thakur's coming out with his wonderful discovery of, I would say, it's a sort of a discovery, because he was instrumental in Krishna's pastimes. He was always playing with gods, and especially with Krishna, and he was all the time meditating on Krishna in his own capacities and all that, and he started writing all this. But even though these were all a little earlier, and he was, if you notice that there is a wonderful famous temple in South India which is world's richest shrine in the world, Ananta Padmanabha Swami temple in Trivandrum in Kerala. They recently discovered a huge treasure which the older kings used to give it as a sort of offering to the Lord. Like Govinda Prabhu also spoke that on this, that the state king are called Dasan, means servant of Ananta Padmanabha. And this particular pastime so happened that one time Lord Krishna used to be always very happy to be with Bilva Mangala Thakur, and one particular point of time he was actually disturbing Bilva Mangala Thakur. Krishna was disturbing him. He was as a small boy, so he was running around, and then in that process Krishna was always trying to torment Bilva Mangala Thakur, and Bilva Mangala Thakur become very, very annoyed that he is not able to meditate, he is not able to chant, even though Krishna is there in person, but he still wanted to. You know, this is a pastime which he can't really understand how all these things happen, but still, for the knowing sake, this is how the Lord's reciprocation to his pure devotees are. So the Lord was running around, he used to bring some food and he'd say, "You want to eat if you don't want to eat." And just like how Krishna used to, if someone in the gopis, they don't give butter or they don't allow him to take a yogurt and all that, he would call the monkeys and do some rampage there, or he would just urinate and run off. So many things like this Krishna used to do, and that are so personal, in that enhances the likeness of Krishna with his pure devotees. In the same way, when Bilva Mangala Thakur wanted to chant and he wanted to take sort of time out to be with the Lord in the heart rather than in person, so Krishna was, one time he was just pushing him, and then suddenly Bilva Mangala Thakur became very, very annoyed, and then he pushed the Lord. The Lord got really, really unhappy about this. He got annoyed. He said that, "Get lost. I don't want you." And then he said, "If at all you want to see me, you come to a forest." And he said, "That forest is where I will be." Then Bilva Mangala Thakur felt very bad that I did not really recognize that Krishna was playing around with me, and now I am not able to get him. So he started running around. right? He started running around in such a manner that, and finally he went to a place where the entire thing was a forest, and there was only one particular family, a sort of a hunter family, and they were living in that area. In this area, the facilities were very less, and obviously it's outskirts of a city, and it's more of a forest area. So what was happening is, these hunter family used to sort of, their kind of food was very raw. Like for example, they used to eat in a coconut kernel, and they used to put some rice and then put some coconut, and then just eat it like that. And the Lord liked it. And then somehow or other, Bilwanga Thakur finds the Lord in that place, but he was not the same Lord as whom he used to see in two forms, with the 400 form, known as 200 form. And he saw that. And then the Lord said, I am the same Lord, and now I am in my Vishnu form. So he explained how he took and he wanted to be there. And that particular place is actually constituted in a conch form. The entire place, if you notice from top view, you will see that it is actually designed like a conch. And this particular place, they coined the name called Anantan Forest. So that is where Lord Ananta Padmanabha Swami came in being. And that is how we came to know. There are so many wonderful pastimes related to how Ananta Padmanabha Swami is giving his divine darshan, and is also playing around with the Lord's few devotees. Of course, that's one part of the story. The second part of the story is that Bilwamangala Thakur's lifestyle itself, he is the same person. We would have heard of how Bilwamangala Thakur was one time very attached to a lady called Chintamani. Do you know this pastor? Right?
No.
Okay, so then for the well-being of myself, I will try to say that. So, Chintamani was a lady who was more society oriented. That's the point. So she was all the more having a lot of client list and all that. But Bilwamangala Thakur somehow got attached to this. The Acharya says that she was a temple dasi, devadasi, right? Related to the temple in all times. So in that process, Bilwamangala Thakur getting attached to her, and then it went to such an extent that he could not stay without seeing her any time. And the only reason is that she always wanted to be there with him. He always wanted to be with her. And it so happened that one day there was a huge storm, and then still the desire to go and meet Chintamani increased his anxiety and enthusiasm to see her. He did not bother about what was the kind of situation he was in and what the environment was. He just ran. In that process, there was storm, he didn't bother, and there was a swelling river flowing around, and still he didn't bother. He just jumped into the river, and then he was just moving, and then he was actually washed off. But somehow or other, he caught a log, thinking that it's a log, and then he came to the other side of the plank, and then he had to run, and he wanted to go urgently. It was getting dark. And then he didn't find it, and he found that the door of her house was closed and almost the lights were down. But he somehow or other wanted to go in, and it was raining, so there was some amount of shelter he needed. So all he could think of is that he saw a huge rope. So he just caught out of the rope and then climbed into and jumped into the house. And then Chintamani was very astonished to see that Bilwamangala Thakur, out of all, can do something like all these things in order to come and see her. And then she made him sit relaxingly. She started questioning him, why is it that you did all this? And then Bilwamangala Thakur said, I cannot live without you. This is what the desire. At that time, Chintamani says that if at all you had put the same amount of effort in thinking about the Supreme Personality of God, Shri Krishna, then you would have by this time gone back to his lotus feet. why are you just getting attached to me? After all, I am a mortal living entity. This pastime actually kicks us very strongly and invokes our Krishna consciousness and how much of effort which we need to put in order to sustain in Krishna consciousness. Because this particular pastime of Bilmangal Thakur also explains that the spiritual master in form of Chintamani is trying to tell the living entities that wake up, sleeping souls. There is no other choice, no other choice, no other choice. This is not the place where you are supposed to be. You are supposed to be in the spiritual world where serving Krishna eternally. But why are you coming here and then struggling so hard? The spiritual master is giving everyday instructions, right? He's saying, Brahmanda Brahmite Kone Bhagyavan Jiva Guru Krishna Prasade Paya Bhakti Lata Bija. Right? You have been wandering left, right and center across the entire Brahmanda. But what is the outcome? There's nothing. You are running here as a Brahmana, as a Kshatriya, as a Shudra, as a Vaishya, as everything in different ashrams and different varnas. You have always been there. But is there a possibility for you to somehow or other come out of this kind of entanglement, right? And then see towards the Lord and then get connected with Him and come back. So, it is also said that the spiritual master is giving us the instruction to be more serious and more Krishna conscious so that the living entity doesn't just get entangled. Moment you start getting entangled, obviously it will take a lot of time for the spiritual master also to pick again. So we as devotees should never give this chance, and the spiritual master would never want to come back in the form of this kind of scenario. Right? This is what every spiritual master would say. Srila Prabhupada gave a very strong example. Srila Prabhupada said that Krishna consciousness and guru disciples relationship is not a one-way traffic. It is a two-way traffic. You go and you attempt yourself. Just like Prabhupada said, if you keep one step, Krishna will keep 10 steps towards you. So in the same way, as a disciple, what is it that we need to do in order to be always in the best possible position so that the spiritual master can easily pick you up? Otherwise, on the time of initiation, the spiritual master is vowing that he will pick up the disciple and then put the disciple at the lotus feet of Krishna. So, if we are not working towards that, what can the spiritual master do? He cannot do much. He can only talk about, please chant Hare Krishna, please follow the regulative principles and do all these things. Or be in devotion service, be in the devotee sangha. All this kind of information he can give. But end of the day, if you are not interested or willing to do those activities, is it possible for you in any manner that you can go back without even any effort? It's not possible. You have to do your part. Only when you do your part, spiritual master also can do his part by encouraging you to be more Krishna conscious and do your activities. This is very important in all aspects. To understand Guru's instructions to actively participate in Krishna conscious activities every moment of our time, it's not an easy effort. It is definitely a very tough job. How can it go on is only when we have that enthusiasm. Utsaha has to be there. And we need to have the higher taste. If we don't have the higher taste, it's not going to happen. With the lower taste, you cannot sustain your run for long. Right? Just like you have a petrol-filled car. The car can run only till the petrol is available. After that, it's not going to be. So your availability of petrol is a very critical factor to the car's running. In the same way, your Krishna conscious activities are a very critical factor to you to become Krishna conscious all time until you reach your destination, which is Krishna's lotus feet. So in the same way, all the acharyas are giving this example. And Bilbamangala Thakur's pastime is a complete historical importance. It's of highly historical importance that because of that, that the entire Vaishnavism could take that as an example and then lead how the gurus and disciples procedures and processes are being done. Just like we are not actually following an individual, right? We are not following any individuals in our Krishna consciousness. What are we following? We are following the tenets being given by the Guru Sadhu Shastras. Means the process is taking care of them, right? Prabhupada, we are not just simply whimsically doing anything. We know that what is right, what is wrong. Prabhupada has already given us this instructions of how much a person should do in order to be all time Krishna conscious. That is the strength of the morning program. If we don't attend the morning programs, if we can't be all the time in the morning program, that means actually we are allowing Maya to get into our armor. The chunk, you're actually opening your armor and then allowing someone to hit you on that place. So is it by chance possible for us to live with that? Impossible. Obviously you will get hurt and then you are going to go wounded, right? So in order to hold this kavacha in a stronger manner, our practices should be all the time stronger. So that can happen only when you continuously do this process in a very systematic manner. When you do a systematic presentation of it, what will happen is we know lot of effort has gone to understand this activity, and Krishna is mercifully giving us a chance to progress in a stepwise manner. Because if we don't show any consistency in ours, there will be a lot of sine waves in our activities. This is what is not needed for us. Krishna conscious means it's a consistent way of living. Because it's a new lifestyle. We are adapting ourselves. It's because till date we are not like that. So that means that we have to understand that there is important way of living. So that will help us. That is what is Krishna consciousness is all about. And that is what Prabhupada also explains here, that even though the acharyas are saying that just like how Mahaprabhu liked this Sri Brahma Samhita and then Krishna Karanamrita, there's so many wonderful literatures like this, right? Not one or two. And one lifetime is not enough for us to go through each and every single pastime of the Lord in different places. It will take millions and millions of lifetimes just to go and see all the different pastimes of the Lord in this, just in this earth. What to speak about the different planetary system where he is doing so many pastimes. Right? So in accordance of how we can progressively understand these pastimes are of very divyam or very transcendental is when we speak or when we have a good interaction with a different set of devotees and then understand what's their liking, what is their understanding about these pastimes. And when we discuss among the Sangha, lot of information comes up. And that is what will sustain us to all the time meditate on the Lord. Otherwise there is no personal factor or feature of how to be engaged with Krishna in this personal feature. This is very, very mandatory for us. Right? If we do that, it's very useful for us. If we don't do that, then we are actually a loser. Right? Because Krishna is giving us good instructions, right? Guru is giving good instructions. He is saying tadvidhi pranipataya pariprashnaya upadekshantite jnana jnanina tattva darshana. How will you understand this? You have to submissively surrender unto the Guru. Understand, take his words, take his instructions to your heart. When you take it to your heart, then that is what is going to get implemented. Pari prashtena sevaya. You have to question in such a manner that not by just going and bombarding your questions or bulldozing your questions, or you are trying to ask questions which are very, very trivial with no meaning to it. Just for the heck of asking, ask something which is very relevant, which is going to be of greater importance to you in your life. Moment you surrender, the surrender should be in a very submissive manner. That's one of the reasons. This is the process which Prabhupada gave us. Always go look forward for your senior Vaishnavas. They are the ones who are going to guide you. Right? End of the day, all these guidance are just going to be with you as a manual for you to write on your own. Guru is giving instructions, sadhus are giving instructions, scriptures are giving instructions, and finally you are given one key, the key to drive your own plane. And this plane is the only one, it can go anywhere it wants. It can, at any time, anywhere. It's like, just you just have to ignite it, and it will take you anywhere you want. This plane is very easy to drive, but the plane has limited fuel efficiency. And this is where it is. How these kind of instructions as manuals will take us to the next level. And that level is what is our destination, is Krishna Loka. Otherwise, moment you leave this body, we have to go into another body, right? That is definite. There is no question that you can't be. So in that process, moment on the way back to Krishna also, there is a high possibility that we may end up in any of the planetary system, maybe higher planetary system or Satyaloka or any other loka, Jana Loka, Maya Loka, any of the lokas. It's possible because of how much of liking you have towards a particular set of subconscious acts which you wanted to do it. That is where you will be carried. And some of the wonderful lectures and all that specification says that you may just for a momentary sake think that I wish I was in this beautiful forest, or I wish I was in a beautiful garden in, say, in Lord Indra's planet, and that's it. You will get dropped there. You still don't get a chance to elevate yourself to being in Krishna Loka. See, so much of difficulty. It is not so easy to get into that wonderful divine realm, but it is so easy to get into any other realm. Because for us, anyway, Prabhupada has guaranteed us. Srila Prabhupada's causeless mercy, he says, just by chanting Hare Krishna, you are guaranteed a next human birth. And in that human birth also, you may get a good, wonderful possibility of you getting into any of the higher planetary system. But this is all not what we want. What we want is, our target is Krishna Loka. Right? In order to go into that, see the amount of effort which we need to do. It is difficult. It is an austerity. Sitting in Bhagavatam is austerity. Bhagavatam class is like an austerity, because you will feel very happy to sleep, because even if you don't get sleep, you will get good sleep in this Bhagavatam classes. Right? So the only possibility for you is that that's a small austerity. You are taking in, it's an offering for Krishna's lotus feet. It is difficult. A child finds it difficult to eat solid foods. An old man finds it difficult to eat liquid foods, because it's both ways. It's going to choke him in one way or the other. So in the same way, austerities are going to be there, and it has to be taken in an austerity manner. Because when you take that as an austerity, you know that there is going to be a return. And Krishna wants that. Slowly you tune up yourself that we reach the right place in a very safe manner. Otherwise, Guru cannot help us. First of all, understanding Guru Tattva itself is a difficult story. But to understand, more than understanding it, how can a spiritual master help you? When you yourself are not ready or willing to go to the next level of your spiritual upliftment, right? We all, when we take initiation, we say that, okay, we are initiated and that's it. We already reached what we want. It's not true. Initiate means to start your life. Till then, nothing has been done. We are just timing. You have a question?
Yeah, just on this
point. Yes, Prabhu.
It's okay?
Yeah. By all means.
So,
God's time. This one?
Oh, yeah.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you. This is a really interesting point about the... our duty as disciples to keep ourselves in a position so the spiritual master can offer us the lotus feet of the Lord.
Exactly.
That's our duty.
Yeah.
I was wondering, because our movement is a preaching movement,
mm-hmm.
I also heard this example that, you know, the sadhu is very, or the preachers are very merciful.
Mm-hmm.
And the example is given of, you know, sometimes a sadhu will see a scorpion has fallen into the pool, but he picks up the scorpion and the scorpion stings him, and then he gets stung, then the scorpion wanders off and wanders back and he goes and he, so that way he's getting poisoned, getting contaminated. So I'm wondering, in our preaching we may become contaminated, you know, and does the spiritual master take that into consideration, or is it also our duty to understand that, you know, we can't, there's only so much we can do and we shouldn't get contaminated? Or is it like we can just go and say, you know, I'm okay, I'm preaching and the Lord will look after me?
Spiritual master is like a pure Vaishnava. A pure Vaishnava is always para dukkha dukhi. He is not bothered about all these trivial things, whether you are contaminated or not contaminated. He is more interested in you becoming attached to the Supreme Lord's lotus feet, and whatever activities which you are performing, if it is getting it there, then you will be all the more happy. He is a Karuna Sindhu. He is a Dina Dayal. He is merciful. There is no other one beyond spiritual master. You can actually fight out with Krishna. You can go and fight out in Krishna and you get lost. You can say, truthfully you can say, but you can't say that to your spiritual master. Moment you say that, you become anatta. You would become an orphan. Spiritual master says, get lost, you're gone. Your life is ruined. No other thing in the entire, there are one, in material sense, there is only one item which can never get putrefied, or it gets contaminated, or it gets worn out. That's honey, right? In material sense. If at all there is one item which will never get putrefied or anything like that, that's only one item, is honey. Honey is always pure. You can use it in any time, anywhere. It will never get destroyed, kind of thing. Spiritual master is like that. He is never interested in how you are. See, preaching is an activity, has to be done for your purification. There's no other possibility of us to get purified. What other possibility? What other activity which you can do which can purify you much faster than preaching? You have to be in kind of all the time in focus on preaching. Preaching means only a dead body cannot preach. So obviously when you are preaching, preaching is not just speaking. Preaching is something which you are trying to convey to someone, change him and to ask him to look towards Krishna. So the spiritual master will be all the more happy that he will give you more mercy, more push, and in such a way that this disciple also becomes qualified to be in Krishna's domain. Because first of all, we don't need any preaching in the spiritual world. No one preaches. We don't have any, to be truthful, that we may probably, as Prabhupada says, we don't have drafts boards in spiritual world. And drafts board. Yeah. For Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he said that. And the third one also, we definitely would, I know, at least to our knowledge, that we don't see a book distribution happening in spiritual world, because Krishna himself is that book, right? So the only option what we have is that we have, in this kind of a vicinity where we are living in, we need that energy factor to always sustain us and to always keep up within the top enthusiastic performance state. That can only happen when you are preaching. And this can help you in such an extent that spiritual master will be immensely pleased. That is why I said that you can fight out with Krishna, but you cannot fight out with Krishna's pure devotees. And spiritual master is pure devotee. Sakshat Haritvena Samastha Shastair Uktastatava Yateva Sadhi. Right? It is Sakshat Haritvena. You are equating your spiritual master to the level of worshipping Lord Shri Man Narayana, Shri Hari. It's not easy. It will take some time for us to grasp to that level. But when you are doing it, that's the ultimate. Srila Prabhupada's instructions, he did not teach us ABC of just ABC. He taught us ABC, XYZ, everything. We don't need anything. When Prabhupada says it's all in his books, it is really in his books. Unfortunately, we are not ready to take it that way. We are only bothered about reading the ABC part and not bothered about the other parts. No. Prabhupada gave such a beautiful example to experience examples to all his Western devotees, right? We have this such a beautiful temple complex here. This is the exact replica of what Srila Prabhupada said, and he brought the entire spiritual world here. We should be really, really proud, honestly speaking, we should be really proud to be congregating here in this domain. This is Sri Vrindavan Dham in personality, because Prabhupada once told some of his early disciples in London that he said that take care of Krishna, automatically Lakshmi will come whenever, wherever it is. At one point of time, it so happened that I heard from one Mataji who was dressing Radharani earliest times with Leela Shakti Mataji, and she was telling me sometime back, she was telling me that one point they had just 5 pounds in their hand. The entire temple did not have money. They had only 5 pounds. So they were just wondering what to do. There's so many devotees and they also have to do some offering to the Lord. So they all congregated. See, small temple, small set of people. So obviously you have a chance to speak to each other and decide and take a decision. If it's big, obviously you need a manager and then leader and so many things. So it's a small temple at that time when it started. So they just had 5 pounds in their hand. So they all congregated and then they wanted to ask, we have 5 pounds. You will either have a breakfast or you can give a breakfast to Krishna. So which one do you want? They were all wondering, what is this? Suddenly someone is coming and telling us that we have only 5 pounds in the account and then this is what we have. So what do we do? Unanimously, they all decided that they will just cook whatever is available with that 5 pounds and offer it to the Lord, and only that we will take. From that day onwards till today, not a single time this Mahaprasadam offering for the Lord has reduced its quality. Till today, from that day, 43 years. So we would. How much proud we should be to associate with those beautiful, wonderful Vaishnavas who have sat, who have cleaned this place, who have served the devotees, who have brought devotees, so many souls to this place, and to serve the lordships continuously, consistently, and out of all, they have brought the Lord not just to these set of devotees, but they have taken the Lord to their houses also, right? So how much of purified conscious Vaishnavas they are all. They are our spiritual masters. They are our examples of how we can live a life which is just dedicated in service of them. That is Krishna consciousness. If we just take care of this one aspect of how we can serve Krishna and his devotees in all time Krishna conscious way, we don't have to bother about whether we are getting contaminated by just by some activity or sometimes. No, in the process of preaching, yeah, you may have to go and shake hands with a lady as a brahmachari, which is difficult, but that's all okay. Krishna doesn't bother about it. Prabhupada doesn't bother about it. Your spiritual master will definitely not bother about all this. Where are you able to tell one word about, say, Krishna to that girl? And that is the seed giving. That is the bija. Bhakti Lata bija is that one. One day or the other, that time bomb will burst. Just like how Prabhupada explains, a big banyan tree is not just a big banyan tree by itself. It just came from the small sprouted seeds, right? A small seed can produce such a big trees. That is Krishna consciousness. So the spiritual master is never bothered about how we are preaching is. But at the end of the day, if you are able to get that soul to see Krishna, your mission is successful. Does it answer? Yeah. Well, this is what I would wanted to cover it for this particular session. But there is a lot more to understand. The only thing, even though there is this different tattvas, like Pancha Tattva is there, and you have Shiva Tattva, you have Guru Tattva, these are some fundamental tenets and principles. It's not easy to understand. So the best possible option is to approach your spiritual master, and he will reveal what is right and good right at that point of time for you. Grasp, and then immediately by the grace of Srila Prabhupada that we will be able to understand those tattvas. And this is what we need to carry. But what we need to carry as a takeaway from this lesson is that seeing the wonderful pastimes of these acharyas, they are not from this world. They didn't come simply for themselves to enjoy in this world. They are not like Nitya Baddhas. They are Nitya Siddhas. They have just come costlessly for their own. Even though the Lord would have said, definitely, no, you don't need to go, you can relax here and be happy. No, they said, no, we can't see this kind of soul. Prabhupada once told Dhammakrishna Maharaj that you know, there are a lot of planetary systems above our earth. Then Prabhupada said that they are in much more worst situation. And Prabhupada said, that's where I am planning to go. This is amazing. So this is where Prabhupada is planning to go, and that's what Prabhupada said, and that's what Dhammakrishna Maharaj confirmed. So like this, they are paradukhyadukhis. They come only to pick up these like us who are wandering left, right and center here, and some way or the other they wanted to connect us to Krishna. And so that, because every lifetime you will definitely not, you will get a chance to see Krishna in some form or the other, right? But not every lifetime you will get a bona fide spiritual master. Moment you get it, you better take it, otherwise you will miss the boat. And then tomorrow you cannot say that I didn't get a chance. And same way, when your spiritual master is present here, it is all the more important for you to serve him in person. And tomorrow you cannot say that I got a chance, now I missed the chance, and then you can't keep crying, my spiritual master is not here anymore. That's a real waste. It's like doing everything and putting water on top of it. What's the use? When your spiritual master is present in person, try to do some vapu seva also. That will make us more humble. I want to just give you one small instance of, it happened in Chaupati temple, that is our Radha Gopinath Mandir in Bombay. Somehow there was a, this was told to me by one nice devotee, that His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj was planning to give some initiations in Bombay. And then they were actually travelling from Juhu temple to Chaupati, that is Radha Rashvihari temple to Radha Gopinath Mandir, on the way. And he was talking to one of his disciples called Gaurangas. So in that, Maharaj was asking questions, so have you done these preparations, have you done that preparations, and so many different questions he asked. And Gaurang Prabhu was on top of everything. He said, Maharaj, ye ho gaya. That's it's done. Maharaj, oh, this one, it's all done, everything. And finally, Radha Maharaj said, you lost the chance to be humbled. You see, that's a heavy, heavy statement. You lost the chance to be humbled. If you are trying to be a smart man in front of your guru, then you are actually missing the boat. You have to show yourself as an idiot. That is the trick. Will fetch you the spiritual abode. Other things will never. You can be a very master in your materialistic activities. You might be a CEO or a CTO or whoever it is, a big manager in your company. That will be of no use. Material information is of no use in your spiritual career. And spiritual career is straight back to God. That's the spiritual career. Nothing else is. So we need to work on towards that. If we are not working towards that, it's time, good time, that we started to work towards that. And for that to happen, first, second and third principle is service, service and service. Always engage in service. If you are not, if you are worrying little bit that you want to do something, immediately do it. That is Krishna consciousness. Preaching is a service, deity worship is a service, sweeping the temple is a service, everything is a service, which is always connected with Krishna, and that is the way. And it's voluntary. You don't do it, someone else is going to do it. Just like how Krishna told Arjuna, you become an instrument, you get the credits. If you don't become an instrument, there are much more people, much competent than you. They can take and handle the situation. And Arjuna did surrender. That is the trick of trade. Spiritual life's trick of trade is to surrender. Moment you surrender, everything is there. Moment you don't want to surrender, everything will be there, but it cannot come to you. That's the point. Okay? Let's stop here. Any questions? One question each, please. Yes, probably.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah, thank you, Prabhu. When you were talking about the life of Bilvamangala Thakur,
correct.
You said that Chintamani was a temple.
Devadasi.
Devadasi.
Mm.
Could you explain what you meant? She was a Devadasi.
See, in the olden days, there are the procedure is like in the olden days, in the Vedic times, there are a few set of people who are actually cultivated. They are all families connected to a temple. The center of the community was a temple, and the community had a set of different houses, and these houses were always connected to the temple. The activities were always, their activities were not outside the temple activities. They don't go outside to do a job or something. They are always connected with some activities in the temple. Either they might be doing a garlanding service, or they might be doing the cooking service, or they might be doing cleaning service or whatever, or deity worship service, like that. In that process, if the family gets a girl, right, generally what they do is that they cultivate the girl in fine arts. You know this fine arts? Have you heard of this fine arts? Like nritya, dancing, then music, and then vocal, right, or instrument playing, and different types of very fine arts. These arts and activities are also dovetailed in Krishna service, in the temple service. Like for example, there is in the Lord when he goes to rest, there are a few set of musicians who play. Like if you go to Srirangam in the evening at around 9:15 to 9:45, you will see that there are a set of 7 people or 9 people, they play Veena. It's called Ekanta Veena. Right? It's like, you know, Lord and these people only for his pleasure, right? In the same way, there is also nritya. It's sort of different types of nrityas is being for the Lord's pleasure. So these kind of people are connected to the temple, and the girl is taught in those things, and that is what she is. But that means she is dedicated in the temple service and only. She will not have a family life. She's sort of connected with a Devadasi, means is she's sort of married to the Lord, and the activities is that it goes to a little bit later in terms of we can't call her a prostitute, but it's that's why I said she was a sort of a society lady who is more related with the Lord and activities like that. Only to the she's sort of married to the Lord. That is what Devadasi is. Does that answer your questions? Yeah. Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Thanks.
I hear in Krishna consciousness these two terms, direct service and indirect service.
Yes, Vapu and Vani.
Mm. And I was wondering if our level of surrender,
mm-hmm,
is always going to be best in direct service. I mean, does it really depend on the individual, that person's consciousness?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it like a systematic thing that direct service is always going to be best? And how do we come to a decision
that's
going to be best for us?
Yeah, direct service is not just the best. You cannot say that's the only best. Right? Srila Prabhupada was present in this planet, all his disciples had a chance to meet Prabhupada. Not all his disciples also had a chance to meet Prabhupada. But still, they took that instruction to their heart. Prabhupada's instructions were much more stronger than his personal presence. Right? Personal presence, what you call as Vapu Seva. And there is something called Vani Seva, which Srila Prabhupada personally said, okay, do this, do this, do this, do this. All these were put in his books. Right? So these were the instructions which the Prabhupada's disciples followed him. That is also much stronger. What is best for us is a mixture of both. Because you have got a chance to meet your spiritual master at this point of time, you have a chance. You can accept that as a benediction that Srila Prabhupada is bestowing on us. That take that as a benediction and then do a little bit of at least Vapu Seva, so that you personally get attached to that spiritual master who is the one who is giving you more stronger instruction. See, because in the other sampradayas, you don't have a differentiation as what you have called siksha and as well as diksha, means disciplining succession or instruction based on learnings as well as based on diksha, initiation, right? But whereas in ISKCON we have this format, we have both. You can take instructions from everyone, right? Those who are have got much better information than us, they are teaching us, so we accept them as teachers. So that's a siksha. But that person who is giving you more stronger in information and enthusiasm in order to you to sustain in Krishna consciousness all times, right? That is the person whom you are going to get attached to. So this is what is called as best for your Krishna consciousness. So that is Vapu Seva. You need to do that also. But you have to have a mix and match. If you have a mix and match, then it's very nice. You can get attached to the spiritual person, spiritual master, who is enthusiasing you more and also hear instruction from Srila Prabhupada. So there you are. You are in a safe boat. Right? Okay? So. Phone from
here,
microphone.
Hare Krishna. You were talking about the importance of the spiritual master.
Yeah.
Quite a lot.
Yeah.
I'd like to ask you, if one rejects the association of a spiritual master in this life, when will one get the opportunity to have the association of a bona fide spiritual master?
Good question. Okay. I don't have a qualification to answer that, but one thing I can say is even Krishna doesn't know that. Even Krishna cannot say for sure that he will ever get a chance to go to him. Someone asked this question to Lord Varadaraja. You know Kanchipuram, there is a place called Kanchipuram in South India. And Lord Varadaraja is the Lord. Lord Varadaraja means the Lord of benedictions or boon giver, right? The Lord was interacting with one of his servants, right? And he was saying that, and the servant was asking a question to Lord and said, when can I come back to you? Will I be coming back after I leave this body? The Lord said, I don't think so in the next few million years. He said, what is this? I am doing service to you every day. And you are saying that I will not come to you. Yeah. Then Lord said, it is fantastic that you are serving. I am also accepting that service. But nevertheless, I don't have a choice to tell you this truth, that you have never served anyone else who is my pure devotees. So you need to serve the pure devotees, only then you will get a chance to come back to me. This is what Lord himself is saying. So what to speak of? That is what I said the other time, that you can fight out with the Lord, no worries. You have someone to back you up, which is your spiritual master. But if you fight out with your spiritual master, where is the chance of you to go back to Krishna? He is the only one who has the keys to the spiritual abode. So in that manner, no one will get a chance. Impossible. It's the causeless mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead through his spiritual potentate, like Shakti Avesha, like Srila Prabhupada, right? Pure devotees. By their causeless mercy, you get a chance to go. If someone rejects Srila Prabhupada or spiritual master, I don't think, at least to my knowledge, that they will ever get a chance to go back. But Shastric injunctions doesn't it doesn't say excuse me. Shastric injunction, I haven't come across where it says that if after this period of time you have a chance to go back, or say 100,000 years later you will go back. It doesn't say that. So it just says, moment you reject your spiritual master, then your connection to the spiritual abode or to Sri Krishna is completely cut off. Unless until it is once again reconnected. So for that to happen, you need a spiritual disciplining lineage. If you don't have that, how will you connect yourself? Just like how we are offering to the Lord. We are not offering to the Lord. We actually assist the spiritual master to offer to the Lord. And the spiritual master doesn't offer to the Lord directly. What he does is he will offer to Srila Prabhupada. And what does Srila Prabhupada do? He offers to his spiritual master. Like that, it goes to Krishna. And then in the same way, it will come back again. So if that lineage itself you are cutting out, then where is the connection connecting? There is no way, isn't it? So that's how it is probably.
Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Yes, Prabhu.
I just wanted to
the phone microphone.
Hare Krishna, because you were talking about devotional service, and I think at one point you mentioned book distribution. So my question really is about performance. Like, in the world of performance, how, like, if we say, okay, we distribute so many thousands of books throughout the year, and we want to increase that, how much of that is, oh well, that will depend on Krishna's, that would be our karma, not like our karma, that would be whatever is allotted to us, you know, what is that verse in the Shriya Shapanishad, that's our prescribed world, so yeah. And how much of it is our actually being effective and being efficient and actually managing, being productive or whatever, you know, I'm trying to say that our expertise, if you will, in managing the process, in creating a sales strategy, creating a marketing strategy, communication. How much of that is Krishna and how much of that is our...
Excellent, good point. Good analysis, bro. Are you from a statistical background?
I lived in a temple for some time. Did the same book distribution.
No, point is that how much of effort is ours and how much of effort is Krishna's? The answer is simple. Ours is zero, Krishna's is 100. There's no way you can... You can plan out anything in this world, but he has to dispose. That's why we say, God only dispose, we only propose. Right? We propose, God dispose. So what is the use of your planning? Let's say that in 1 year, you are selling around, say, 120, let's say, for a simple example, you are selling 120 books. You are saying that your effort to sell 120 books is completely your effort because you are planning left, right and center and all that. One small thing, if Krishna just shakes his hand like this and then makes your finger or your mouth go tossing like a paralysis stroke, what can you speak to another person if you are not able to speak? Right? What will your preaching strategy, what will be your effort, what will be your performance, what will all that become to? Zero, isn't it? You cannot. We are infinitesimal. Anus, not Vibhus. Krishna is the Anu. Krishna is the Vibhu. We are Anu. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Prabhu. It's really great. I totally get that message, and
yeah.
It just kind of goes to me as like, you know, be humble, because
yeah.
Krishna. However, what I really appreciate if you could clarify, because what I make that mean, my interpretation of that as well. Why bother going out on Sankirtan? I might as well just stay in the temple and then whatever's going to be is going to be.
Yep.
But there's going to be... So what I would really like is that thing that has me get up and be in action, even though I know that 100% of it is with Krishna. So I wonder if you...
We are not doing it. As you say, we can sit in the temple and do our bhajana, or if you don't want to do our bhajana also, it's fine. You can just go to the ashram and then sleep and lie down. No problem. Let me be truthful on that. You can be that. Do that. No problem. 5 days you do, 6 days you do. You cannot be doing on the seventh day. You know why? Because you are a soul. A soul is always active. It has to do something. How long you will just lie down? Explain that. You can't. Seventh day you have to come out. And the seventh day you will have to do something which will inspire you. Right? In that inspiration point is, Prabhupada explains that we don't want to get any money or anything. Krishna is sending us. Krishna is doing everything. This is an institution run by bhakti. This is not run by any professional strategical points. It's run by voluntary service. We are sitting here because we are wanting to do something. Right? Everyone, every single devotee here, they all voluntarily dedicated their life for Krishna. It's not that they wanted to do it because they are going to get some remunerations. It is not. Prabhu, let's come to the simple thing that we are not the doer. Krishna is the one. He is doing it and we are actually getting done. Right? At this lotus feet, we are of some use. If we are away from him and think that we can do it on our own, what we can do? Come to that common term that the basic fundamental of our spiritual existence or our living existence is on one single principle that Mamayam Cha Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. We are eternally in the spiritual abode with the Lord, simply not here. And we don't belong here. We are not the person who can say for sure, I do everything. It's a maya. It's an illusionary thought process. that because of my planning, because of my performance strategies, that book distribution or any activities which is happening, every temple president will think like that. Because of me, the entire temple is running. The second day, moment he gets a hit, then he will come to the lotus feet of the Lord and say, bends his head and says, I'm sorry, you are the boss, I am your servant. Only then we will understand it. We cannot do anything in this world, or we cannot do anything in this world. You can think for momentarily, yes, I am doing it nicely, but even that momentary thought is not in your hands, because it is bestowed by the costless mercy of the Supreme Lord and your spiritual master. The Lord bestows the intelligence, the spiritual master is the guiding force. Both of them don't act, what will you do? You will be like a zombie. You will be in one corner. You are of one no use. Right? Prabhupada gives the examples of a nut and bolt. He gives, if that nut and bolt is of any use, if it's in the machine, moment that nut bolt falls down the machine, the nut is of any value, no value, zero. So that's our point, Prabhupada. So humility, yes, that's one level. But in other level also, even if you want to do an effort, just like if I have to take this and keep it here, I need to put some effort. That effort cannot be done by anyone. The Lord has to sanction that. Tenevina trunadapi nachalati. Right? Not a blade of grass can shake without the Lord's permission. So what you and I can do? I am speaking because my vocal cord is vibrating. Moment the Lord says this fellow is useless, he cannot talk anything sensible, and he stops this vocal cord, what can I do? What can I speak? This is all he can do. Right? I hope I am trying to convey a very important message there. Right?
Thank you.
Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Yes. I think we'll have to quickly stop. Is it getting late or we have time?
Can we
okay. Sure, Prabhu. Thanks. Yes, Prabhu. Microphone.
So, what about efforts for an atheistic cause? Like, you can get rich selling books about there being no God. Would Krishna be helping you in that, or is that purely your own efforts?
Any effort you do, it has to be bestowed by the Lord's mercy. Whether you are doing it atheistic or theistic or whatever it is. Atheistic people consider the Lord doesn't exist. But what if, Srila Prabhupada asked this question to one of them. What if the Lord exists? You miss the boat. Right? This is the point. If the Lord doesn't exist, no problem, because I am also trying and I am considering the Lord is existing and I am trying. If it's not there, then it's fine. I am not a loser. But atheistic people are not like that. They're saying it's not there. Suddenly what if Lord exists? You are completely a loser. So the effort anyone who does, either you are doing it or anyone else is doing it, effort has to be done, whatever is being bestowed by the Lord's costless mercy. It's not in our hands. We are not competent. We are simply a waste of, it's a garbage. We don't have anything in us. Not a single, even the input, we are only input guaranteed people. Our outputs also is waste, right? A stool of a cow is used as a manure, right? But our stool is considered even, it's so contaminated that we cannot even use it for anything. That's the capacity we have. And what can we talk about anything else? Krishna is costlessly merciful that he is allowing us to live at this point, stealing all his properties. Right? Air is his, water is his, light is his, everything is his property. And we are stealing and saying that we are living with all this facility. And it's ours. Shame on us. Yes, Prabhu.
Just if I understand correctly, then is it right to say that we understand that we desire because we have a strong desire, that's our credit, we by association we get in a desire.
Right.
Because we have a strong desire, the Lord through his material energy arranges that we can realize that desire.
Correct.
So our real merit is that we take association of godly people, get the right desires,
exactly.
And then everything will work around that.
Exactly. Because Srila Prabhupada's desire was to inundate this world with Krishna conscious activities and Krishna conscious people, that we are trying to be a simple instrument in the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. Because Srila Prabhupada got the instruction from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and said that every town and village will have the Lord's holy name being transported to every single places, right? And this is getting disseminated. So Prabhupada took that instruction and then he gave it to us. And then we are trying to do as simple instruments as the lotus feet of Prabhupada. If we don't do it, we are the loser. Prabhupada is not a loser. Prabhupada has thousands and thousands of devotees. He can get anyone and then say, just by click he can get it. Because he is pure devotee of Sri Krishna. Who else he want? He has the Lord in his hands. Where there is Krishna, there is always going to be victory. No one can stop it. Demons can say, I can be the best, I can do this, I can do book distribution and all that in their level. After some time, what will happen? Nothing will happen. It is just beating their own drums. They will not go anywhere. But Krishna is mercifully giving us because we are in the right place. And that information is with Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada is the only Acharya. Even all the previous Acharyas did not say that. Prabhupada is the only Acharya who said, don't worry about all these things you are doing. I have the back door key. That is where we are. So catch Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet. What does he want? We don't have anything else as qualification. We can't buy it. We are not sadhana siddhis. We cannot do just by our sadhana, we can go back to Krishna. It is impossible. It's all kripa siddhi. By the mercy, causeless mercy of Srila Prabhupada, he is just throwing the mercy. Take it like that. And this is what is. By kripa siddhi, by Prabhupada. Why do you think we have to get up in the morning and say, Sri Guru Charana Padma? We are not interested in glorifying someone who is sitting in. If you notice, Srila Prabhupada is watching us. It is not that he is simply sitting there. He is there, personally present. Bhakti Charu Maharaj sometime back said, he was saying that he was feeling that Srila Prabhupada was not there anymore. After some time, he started saying that, no, Prabhupada was personally present here. And he could feel the presence of Srila Prabhupada. He has never left us. So that is Srila Prabhupada. Imagine, honestly, come 4 o'clock in the evening. This room cannot, it's not possible, honestly, to sit. I have tried a couple of times sitting here at 4 o'clock. It is very, very difficult. Kind of people who come here, the consciousness, the energy level, and the negative energy, the stinking socks, my God, it's simply not possible to sit here. The truth is so difficult. But costlessly, Radha Randanisha is 43 years, they are mercifully standing and giving mercy. The other day at 12 o'clock, someone is coming and jumping here with all his drugs and drunk. I can't even imagine all these things in India. But of course, yes, here it's happening. So, costlessly, they are mercifully. See the wonderful Chinna. You know, what do you call Chinna? What do you say Chinna as? Mudra. Yeah. Radharani is Mudra. She is saying, come here. This is a blessing. Fall at the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. What more you want? That's Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Namo Premanande.
Thank you very much, Thank you.
So that means that this is the stuff is essay but gets read out today, right?
Yeah.
It gets read out. And then someone could check, I think on reception there should be some scores from Sankirtan Esti. Thank you, Siddhartha.
So thank you, Vishal Gaurangabhu, for answering our questions, spending time with us. His Grace Vishal Gaurangabhu, okay?
Yeah.
So now for the pleasure of the Lordships, Srila Prabhupada, you have Sankirtan scores from yesterday. In Radharani's boutique, we distributed 6 books and collected 243 Lakshmi points. Radharani's boutique.